Welcome to episode 2 of the Novel Hand podcast. Novel Hand's goal is to explore the best solutions to global humanitarian issues, and today we're talking to Connie Tsai of Musolo about ethical fashion. Okay, so today we're talking to Connie Tsai, and she is the executive assistant at Musolo. She's been involved in supporting the lowest wage challenge, and she's really passionate about ethically made clothing. Hello, Connie.
Hi, Alexa. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you. So first, just tell me a little bit about how you developed a passion for ethically made clothing, sort of what that means to you.
Yeah, I have just always been involved in supporting and helping marginalized communities, just been involved in volunteering at a young age, and just really have a passion for community and supporting others. And I've also always loved fashion, and so I think I first heard about ethical fashion in high school, and I was like, what does that even mean? What does that look like? And I was like, it just sounds like such a cool way to merge two things that I love, just the art of fashion as well as helping people and helping communities that maybe need more resources to help themselves. And so I really started looking into what is ethical fashion, what does that look like, and it just kind of took off from there.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Tell me a little bit about what does it mean for clothing to be ethically made? What, like, technically, but also what does that look like, like, in real life, if I'm going shopping, how do I know, ethically made?
Yeah, totally. So there's a couple components to ethically made fashion. There's kind of the environmental piece as mm-hmm. well as the people side of things and the social aspect of ethically made fashion. So when it comes to environmental, that's just trying to make sure that your production is as minimally harmful to the environment as possible. So that's things like carbon emissions and how do you offset carbon emissions and using recycled materials and using materials that use less chemicals and more natural materials and things like that. And then there's also the people and social side of things, which is making sure that workers are paid a living wage and are paid basically enough that they can support themselves and their mm-hmm. family to meet their basic needs of food, clothing, shelter, but also things like education and giving producers a safe working environment and resources to have financial literacy and know what it looks like to work in a formal economy and things like that. Those are kind of the two big pieces of ethical fashion. And as far as like how a shopper can know that, it's really good to look at just companies' about pages and see, what is their mission? What do mm-hmm. they stand for? Are they paying attention to what kind of materials they're using? Yeah. Secondhand is something that is coming a lot more into the ethical fashion scene as well. And yeah, just seeing how brands advocate for their producers. Do they talk about their producers openly? Mm-hmm. Or is that something that's just not talked about at all? That's definitely a big red flag if a company is not mentioning what their workplace mm-hmm. looks like or anything about the producers that make the clothes. That's definitely a sign of not advocating for their producers for sure.
Yeah. Wow. There's so many components I hadn't thought of just along the supply chain of those environmental and social aspects of like a jacket or something being made.
Totally.
So cool. Tell me a little bit about how you got involved with Musolo.
Yeah, so I have known about Musolo basically since inception of Musolo. So we are going on eight years. Yeah, it started in 2020. It started in 2011. And I had known about it pretty early on just being around Nashville. It got mm-hmm. started in Nashville. And again, that I started getting interested and introduced to ethical fashion kind of at a younger age. And so I just like saw Musolo and the mission that they were on. And I was like, I want to check this out. And I looked at their website and I was like, wow, this is like an aspirational brand. I like will like never, you know, be a part of it. We'll never know what it looks like to, you know, be in the company and even like wear the shoes. You know, I was in high school, so it was expensive. Right? And I wasn't looking at shoes that were in that price range. And so I had kind of just like pushed that aside. And Then I actually interned in Atlanta for a small nonprofit that supports local startups, and they have a conference every year. And so I actually got connected to the CEO, Patrick Woodyard, through that. Because he was speaking at this conference that I was helping to host. And then it just kind of was a snowball effect of then I went to Vanderbilt and had my HOD internship, and I interned at NeSolo. Yeah. And so I was on the team there, and that turned into a part-time job, which turned into a full-time job. And I'm just so passionate about the team and just being with them and seeing how much they care about their people, both domestically and internationally. And so, yeah, it has just been just snowball effect of how I heard about NeSolo and learned about them and just got involved and just have been, you know, all in on the mission.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome to see how you've kind of been able to grow with the company and get to be involved different ways and now get to work full-time there.
Yeah, yeah, it's a crazy story. I, you know, came on full-time 3 days after graduation and it's just been a blast.
Yeah, tell me a little bit, like, what does a typical day working at NeSolo look like for you?
Yeah, totally. So that is a funny question. You can ask me that now, and then in 2 months it'll be so different. So as the executive assistant, I support our CEO and our COO and a couple other executives on the team. And so I just get to be alongside them and support them logistically and kind of also fill in on the team wherever it's needed. So one of my bigger roles recently has been kind of being a stand-in creative producer. So I get to be on photo shoots and I kind of lead those and execute on those, make sure we have models and fit shoes and style them and work with a photographer and scheduling. And that's been really cool to see that creative side of the business and the assets that you see on a website and things like that. I've just gotten to really like feed into. I have also previously been a part of the product development team where I get to help with fit and wear testing. So like NeSolo is an ethical shoe company, but we also, you know, want to make sure we have a great product. It can't just be fully crutched on social and environmental impact. You know, you want to make sure that you can drive demand so that you can make a change. And so with product development, we work on fit and what our shoes look like and how they feel foot. Yeah. And so it's been a wild ride and every day is so different. And I walk into a week and I'm like, let's see what comes at me this week. And it's a blast. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's awesome when you get to see the different components that all go into making one product.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's always awesome. A running joke. Like, yeah, you're a little bit on every department and yeah, it's great.
You get a taste of everything.
Totally.
So you've also been sort of involved in supporting the lowest wage challenge. Tell me a little bit about where that came from, what it means.
Yeah. So our CEO, Patrick Woodyard, he is just so passionate about people and the producers. And he, his story actually started off, he lived in Peru, was working for a small microfinance company and just got to know some of the people there. And he met the shoemaker, William, and he just formed a real connection and was like, these shoes are beautiful. Like, how is it that this small, this guy in the back of this small convenience store can be making such beautiful shoes and people don't know about it? And so he's always had just a really tight connection to the people and the mission. And so a living wage is something that the fashion industry just doesn't take into account very much. A living wage is different from minimum wage, and that is, minimum wage is a legal requirement by the government, whereas living wage is is set by other standards that make sure that people have the minimum amount to meet their needs, which includes things like education. It's not just food, water, shelter. It includes the family. It includes cost of living. It's just a lot more inclusive than a minimum wage is. And so basically the idea was that if your supply chain, your lowest wage does not meet a living wage, then there's one person and probably more that just aren't being taken care of in your supply chain. And so that was the heart of just saying, hey, this is an easy way to know whether you baseline care about your producers. Like, there's so many things above and beyond that you can do, which we advocate for. But at baseline, the easiest metric is to know if your absolute lowest wage in your supply chain is not a living wage, then something is happening. Right. And it was just this movement to say there are complications with the industry, and there are complications as to understand what it looks like to take care of producers. But that is just one easy way to say, hey, there is a solid metric that, you know, needs to be met across your supply chain. And so the lowest wage challenge was just this movement to challenge other brands to say, hey, we're publishing our lowest wage, and we have decided to make it a living wage. And so I want to challenge you, no matter whether your lowest wage is a living wage or not, just sharing that and being open and transparent. And there's this line that you'll hear so much with the lowest wage challenges. It's about progress over perfection. And so we want to make this movement inclusive and say, this is about just taking that first step and being in transparency. And from there, we hope that it spurs into a movement of action. But you can't take action if you're not honest about where you're at. And so that's really the heart of why NeoSolo has partnered with Able, another local brand that does ethical fashion. And we've just said, this is important, and this is important for the industry, not just Nashville. And so, that's how it started.
Yeah. I mean, as a consumer, it's something that I don't think I've thought a whole lot about before, but to see brands that I respect and that I like their products, to see that that's something they value, I think adds that social component that maybe a lot of people don't consider when they're shopping or, but that it seems really important, and that crucial, social component.
Yeah. And like, less than 2% of people in the fashion industry earn a living wage. And 75% of those people that don't earn a living wage are women. And so it's something that you don't think about when you put your shirt on. You're like, in the morning, you just throw your clothes on and you don't think about, who made it and what that stands for. Mm-hmm. But it's so important to know that you are, supporting an industry, or feeding into an industry well and in a positive way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see in that way, it's not just a business issue or a management issue. Mm-hmm. It becomes a gender issue and a social issue and a cultural component to
Absolutely.
It as well.
Yeah.
What sort of has been the response to the lowest wage challenge so far from other companies or from consumers, things like that?
Yeah. It's been so cool. So this movement was basically started on social media, like every big movement And it's been so cool to see the response from consumers. There were just like thousands upon thousands of nominations, and there were, I think, over 500 brands nominated across the board, across industries, everything from really big brands to really small brands. And it was just so cool to see the response. And it was brands that claim that they're ethical and brands that don't. Like, it was just across the board. And, we've been in talks with, helping just like getting conversations going. There were some brands that were like, wow, they kind of knew of this stuff, but they were like, I want to be at a place where I publish my lowest wage. And it was just cool to see from the brand side that people were pumped. And there have been a lot of people that have wanted to partner and be a part of it and publish their wages too. And so it has just been a really cool response and just a big show of how this community is growing. Because if this had launched even 2 or 3 years ago, I think the response would have been significantly smaller.
Yeah.
And it's just the community around ethical fashion has really showed up. And I think it has just grown through this challenge.
Yeah. I can see, like you said, that progress over perfection. And I mean, that's what you're seeing as a result is progress, whether that's conversations or new brands getting involved. And I mean, I feel like it's just the beginning.
Yeah, so that's, it totally is.
So exciting. How has this like passion for ethical fashion, ethically made clothing, how is that a part of your daily life?
Yeah. It just is an awareness of when I walk through a store, what goes into it. I think that's the biggest thing. And it's gotten me thinking about things, not just clothes, but, the everyday things that I use, the everyday items that I use. And I think for me, it's just been an acute awareness of also like how much I am a consumer. I love fashion.
Right.
I'm such a high advocate for fashion as an art. Like, I don't want to ever lose that. I really, the phrase passion for fashion is so cliche, but it's so true. I love getting dressed in the morning mm-hmm. and picking out an outfit and feeling like I am myself and I can go throughout yeah. the day just like knowing that, you know, people can see me and say like, oh, that's like Connie. And yeah. I love that. But I will just say like I used to be such a heavy consumer of fashion and still I'm working on that again, progress over perfection for yeah, sure. Yeah. Still I'm definitely a shopper, but I think I've also been acutely aware of how much I used to consume and how every new thing that came out, I was like, wow, I like really want that. I really need that. And I think that awareness has been so helpful in just understanding the need to, you know, to utilize purchase power well.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
to be okay to spend more money on less things that, mm-hmm. you know, that have higher quality or that stand for a mission, and really digging into things like that, because the only reason that those things are more expensive is because the market's skewed.
Right.
And
right.
how can I contribute to the market in a way that helps take away that skew, like
yeah.
these things are more expensive even though they should be normal price because other brands are being pressured to have lower prices, and so they pressure their factories to have lower mm-hmm. wages. And
yeah.
if we all were able to start slowly but surely spending more money on less pieces and really positively contributing to the fashion industry, then the market would skew that way and the playing field would be even because everyone would be paying their workers well.
Yeah.
And so I think that has been the biggest thing every day when I'm walking through a store. I still, of course, have like an appreciation for fashion and art, no matter, yeah. you know, whether I'm at Target or whether I'm at somewhere like Nisolo or Able. But just understanding that when I walk through Target and I see 7 items that I like think I really need and want, maybe instead of thinking about what is that one thing from another local brand like Elizabeth Suzanne that I, you know, can, instead of getting 7 pieces that I'll wear 7 times, getting 1 piece that I'll wear 50 to 100 times,
right,
things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Anybody who knows Connie knows that she is very fashionable and that she loves people well. So it's so beautiful to see like how you've combined those things into
so sweet.
Ethical fashion and just your daily life. So that's really awesome. So our last question, what do people our age need to know about ethical fashion, ethically made clothing? What is sort of a really important takeaway, would you say, for our generation?
Yeah, I would say start small. Again, when I first saw Nisolo, I was like, $100 shoes? What? Like, I was just like, I could not believe it. And I just started realizing, like, as I got older, I was like, oh, that's because I've been trained, again, to just
yeah.
get 7 shoes for $10 instead of, like, 1 really nice pair of shoes. And the first time I got Nisolos, I was like skeptical of the difference I was gonna feel and things like that. Even with other brands, I was like, is it really gonna be that different? And just thinking about the quality and the handy work that goes into it, is it definitely makes a difference. And also just knowing that those people are taken care of, you can start with 1 piece. It's not like every time you go into Target and you buy a shirt, you have to feel guilty. But it's just about saying, like, having that awareness slowly but surely just make its way into your everyday thinking. And, yeah, I definitely started small. I mean, I didn't get a pair of Nisolos until I was interning there.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
like, I never made the jump before that. But now that I'm like, okay, I really have the capacity to invest in these small pieces. And I'm not saying that, you know, you need to be wearing your shirts until they have holes all over them
right,
and
right.
things like that. But just like finding that one piece that you know you're going to love and you're going to wear forever. And you're going to, even if it goes out of style for a little bit, it's going to be in good enough quality to keep and hand down to your kids, something
mm-hmm.
like that. Just find that piece and start there and say, like, I'm going to set enough money aside to go for this. And I think that slowly, just that transition into being like, oh, this one thing is feasible, just started slowly like integrating into my closet of like, okay, this is something that I can do more frequently and more often, and but still find ways to make it your own and yourself. And there's so many more brands that are doing good things, so that fun and playful spirit is getting more accessible. And so, yeah, just start with one piece would be my encouragement for sure.
Yeah, I definitely think in any area of our life, intentionality starts with a small step and then mm-hmm. grows from there. So yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Actually, I have one more question. Yeah. I heard that you have a warehouse sale coming up.
We do. It is next weekend. I think that's the 21st and the 22nd, or the 22nd and the 23rd.
Yeah,
it is Saturday and Sunday of next weekend. And again, like, that is a great way to start. I have so many friends that I always say, hey, like, I have this, like, we're having a sale, like, come by. And a lot of my friends get their first piece from these big sales,
okay.
And then they get addicted. My roommate has, like, almost as many new sellers as I do. She has, like, 7. And, yeah, it's, again, like, once you've started, you just realize, like, wow, there's a difference. And, like, this is something that I think is worth, you know, buying into and investing in.
Yeah, so. Well, I'll be there. So
that's amazing. I will be there, too. Come see me.
See you there. Well, thank you so much, Connie. It's been such a privilege to just hear about your passion for ethical fashion, how that's a part of your life and a passion that you have. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much, Alexa, for having me and just starting this conversation. What y'all are doing is amazing.
That is a wrap on episode 2 of the Novel Hand podcast. I want to say a big thank you again to Connie of New Solo for joining us. It was just awesome to hear about her passion for ethical fashion, how that's a part of her daily life and also her work. I'm really excited for this warehouse sale on Saturday and Sunday, February 22nd and 23rd. Looking to buy my first pair of New Solo, so be sure to check that out if you're in the Nashville area. And be sure to follow along with what we're doing at Novel Hand. You can find us obviously online at novelhand.com. We're on Instagram at novel.hand and on Facebook as Novel Hand. You can find our podcasts on Podomatic, but more for the general public would be Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And we have new episodes every Monday, so be sure to check that out. And then lastly, you can sign up for our email updates to get our weekly newsletter on Sundays. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time.